Donald Jeffries.
Donald Jeffries.
Author of Hidden History and Survival of the Richest. Host of The Donald Jeffries Show. Billy Ray Valentine.
Billy Ray Valentine.
Host of the Infinite Fringe podcast. Researcher, truth seeker from the Bronx, New York. Tony Arterburn.
Tony Arterburn.
Radio host, combat veteran, precious metals analyst, and alt historian. Together, they take on the headlines of the week, decode the disinformation, and plow through the mainstream propaganda. Unauthorized, unscripted, and unintimidated.
Unintimidated.
This is America Unplugged.
What is going on, everybody? It's America Unplugged. Hope everybody's doing well. My name is Billy Ray Valentine, and I'm here with the usual suspects, Mr. Tony Arterburn, the wisest of all the wolves. Tell him what's up, sir.
Well, it's good to see you, Billy. Good to see you. Good to see Don. I had a good time reading Don's article on my first show back in a month. I hadn't realized it was been a month since I did a live radio show, and I took the time to read Don's article, and it was magic. So thank you for writing that, Don. Help me out this week.
Thank you for reading it, brother. I appreciate it. Very nice of you.
Yeah, made Zero Hedge, apparently, Don.
Yes.
Yeah, well, Zero Hedge is, they're hard to crack, but I think this is three or four of mine they've done. So, but this guy, and Zero Hedge is, I mean, it's fun. I go over there and watch it because I'm, you know, I enjoy it. But I mean, it had like almost 50,000 reads and well over 600 comments. And most of the comments are rough. I mean, they're, you know. But some of them were good. But it's interesting. So it's nice to have that kind of platform.
All right. Beautiful. Congratulations to you. He's going to start big timing us, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, but a lot of things went down. Listen, I'm out of here in 30 minutes. Just a heads up. I got to go.
Just like a pizza. He's 30 minutes or less, ladies and gentlemen. He's just like a pizza. He's 30 minutes or less on America Unplugged.
That's right. That's right. You know, guaranteed or your money back. All right. But let's do it. Let's do it. So we could talk about the State of the Union just a little bit. We could talk about the Orange Man and the vaccine a little bit. We could talk about some AI. There's some AI news that hit. I might come back. Well, listen, I think we'll do a prime time tomorrow night. There's so many things I want to talk about, and I'm not going to have time to do that. So maybe we'll do that tomorrow night. At 7 p.m. Eastern, I'll put something up to let you guys know if I'm doing it or not. Here, you'll get an alert or whatever. Hopefully, anyway, if this works properly. But State of the Union went down. Tony was talking to me about it a little bit before we went on air. Let me know. Let the people know what you were thinking about Mr. Joe Biden. Hey, they gave him that good adrenochrome, man. They gave him the best type. They went to the Himalayan mountains and got that good stuff, right? They were like, let's get them the pure organic, non-GMO, the whole deal, and they injected him with it. He started kind of teetering towards the end. It started kind of wearing off a little bit, but he was able to close it in. What'd you think of the dude?
You want me to go first?
Yes, sir.
Well, I thought it sounded better in its original German. If I would go back to the archives, it's a lot more exciting at the Reichstag. It just kind of lost all of its fervor in English. Now, that I'm channeling Peggy Noonan on that. That was a critique of Pat Buchanan's culture war speech in 92.
Yes.
Just something that came to mind. We're beyond politics now. This is not a triangulation of winning the election. This is exactly what you said when we were off air, Billy. You said that Joe Biden was talking to his base.
Yeah.
Both candidates are talking to the extreme. And I want to say the extreme, there's people that cannot be reached one way or the other. It doesn't matter what their candidate or party does. And that's what I'm not talking about extremists and like in the Barry Goldwater sense that, you know, an extremism and a defense of liberty is no vice. I mean, we're beyond politics. And what I mean by that is you go back to like this, Don would probably second me on this, the Reagan era. Reagan said a lot of divisive things, but then he would always make up for it. You know, he called the Soviet Union an evil empire one time. And it's been, that's, you know, it was the moniker was used all throughout the 80s, but he said it one time early on before Mikhail Gorbachev was premier. And, you know, he had some other run-ins, you know, kind of a gaffe saying that he was going to outlaw the Soviet Union. And he was picked up on a hot mic, you know, before a radio address and things like that. But at the end of the day, it was there's a reason Reagan won a 48 state landslide against Mondale in 84. And it wasn't because he was divisive. It was because he reached other people. So now they're not even trying. And this is, I think, alarming, because now they're not even talking to people that are undecided. They're just talking to their base to get their base excited and let the chips fall where they may. They're going to use demographics instead of ideas. I thought Joe Biden's rhetoric, he could have taken the opportunity to talk about the challenges we face, all that stuff. But to lean into the policies of Joe Biden is to lean into apocalyptic failure. So I don't know that he can lean into much. I mean, Bidenomics is an absolute a dumpster fire. I was on David Knight this week, and I was saying, is anybody paying attention that Bitcoin and gold hit their all-time highs at the same time? They're not supposed to. These two things aren't actually supposed to go together, but they are, because the U.S. dollar is dying. And that's not an alarmist position. I mean, it literally percentage-wise is dying. So we're going through major historical changes, and the American empire is crumbling. But meanwhile, he's calling his opposition insurrectionist.
Yep.
When I don't even know where do we start there? I mean, again, that's what they use MAGA insurrectionists. So the entire opposition is an enemy to the state. That's rhetoric from the president of the United States. And it's not boding well for our future.
Well, let me, you know, I explained it to to Tony off air, you know, but I'll do it here, and then we'll get Don's take on this. He did exactly what he needed to do, right? And I told Tony, I was like, if I was Joe Biden's advisor behind the scenes, I'm like, yeah, it's the State of the Union. Forget all that. Forget all that. It's an act of desperation is what it was. He needed to show vigor, so they gave him the good adrenochrome, and he needed to win back the base. He needed to win back those people because they're questioning him. And this is my plea to everyone in the alternative media who is still invested in the left-right paradigm and wants to vote for Donald Trump. If you vote for Donald Trump and Donald Trump gets elected, half of the country goes to sleep for another 4 years. If Joe Biden gets in, the left and the right are going to attack that guy. It's the best possible situation for us. The left does not like him. They don't like him. They're just dealing with him as a result. They want to see something out of him. And that's what they got at the State of the Union. It was divisive, right? It was something else. It was a spectacle. It wasn't a State of the Union address. It wasn't. But he needed to show that he was still, quote unquote, capable. And he needed, and he knows he's not going to get the MAGA side. He knows he's not going to get that. So how does he appeal to his base? He insults the MAGA side. This is where we are, unfortunately, as a country, politically and culturally, because politics and culture are the same thing now. There's no difference, right? So this is where we are. So that's what Joe Biden used the platform. 32 million people watched him do that. And it was a success for the left. The left loves it. Go watch liberal media. They loved everything he did. And then there was the Katie Britt response, which was, we got Joe Biden off the cuff, completely like losing his mind, right? And saying all types of crazy crap, right? Dividing the country for the Democrats. And then we had Katie Britt give the response like a Stepford wife. I mean, literally, like it was just the most bizarre thing I've ever seen in my life. I thought I was the only one when I was watching it. And then I woke up and the media exploded with that too. This is where we are politics wise. This is where we are. And that's why Joe Biden did what he did. And nobody should be surprised by it. But if we have a shot, to return to pre-2016 conditions, it's electing Joe Biden. If we have a shot, you elect that guy, we all unite against him again. Because the left does not like him. They don't. And we already know the right doesn't like him. So we're back. We're one big happy family. Let's look at the goal. Let's take him down. Donald Trump half of the country goes to sleep, and we're in trouble. All right, Don Jeffries, what's up?
Well, I think, again, this exemplified what we see. The country is divided like never before. We can't, the one good thing Lincoln said that I quote favorably still, I'm not too predisposed towards Honest Abe, but when he said a house divided against itself cannot stand, that applies more now than it did then, way more now than it did, because we are a house divided. There's no question. And in this case, a literal house, the House of Congress, when you see him give the State of the Union address, people are looking at the world in completely different ways. And we have complete different realities. All you got to do is watch the culture war that Pat Buchanan, as Tony mentioned, warned that we were losing. Obviously, we got obliterated in that. We're not even at the Washington Generals level of competition in the culture war. We got completely annihilated. And so now you see the people that are out there, they're going to be increasingly getting positions of power. And some of them are already in the Biden administration. The purple-haired monstrosities that are talking about 57 genders and are canceling people and screaming at people for misgendering them and all that nonsense. Those are the people that are going to be in charge. Obviously, there's, I would hope, at least 100 million people, let's say conservatively, that are not going to tolerate that. But it's only going to get worse unless something is done, because they're ratcheting it up. People are being canceled every day for their speech, and you have Canada's already put out a feeler up there, and we follow Canada. Canada's actually worse than us with Trudeau and Chrystia Freeland, where they have a bill now which basically is a wrong think bill. If you remember 1984, there was wrong think, which differs slightly from thought crime. But it's the same kind of thing. You have a wrong thought. And that's what they're doing up there. As I understand it, if you offend them enough, you might spend life in prison. I don't know if that's the case, but there are millions of Americans that would love that here, that would love to put that on the people that offend them. And they get offended at everybody. They don't believe in free speech. They don't remotely believe in it. I mean, they are all sworn to uphold the Constitution. So if you watch that, and I think whatever adrenochrome they gave Biden, they're giving him a strand where apparently the only way they can get him animated at this point is to get him angry. Because that's the only, because otherwise he walks around kind of like a doddering, sympathetic guy. But once they charge him up, he's like Frankenstein, where he gets angry, he's lashing out, and he's, whispering loud, and that's what he was doing. So that's apparently the only way they can get him going at this point. But you had someone mentioned in the chat about, I didn't see that, there's a gold star yes. father that was, I missed that. So I guess they were yelling something about the, probably an illegal killing, I guess their
kid. No, it was his daughter that was killed in Afghanistan. It was gold star father.
Oh, okay.
On the botched withdrawal to leave the Taliban billions of dollars of weapons so we can come back.
And he was, as I understand, he was ushered out. So again, just think, what does that say about your country? That this man's child was killed through our negligence in the place we shouldn't have been there to begin with. And their response, in the old days, they might have put that person, in the audience and Reagan or somebody, and they would have pointed him out and everybody would have cheered. In this case, now they're escorted off stage like they, threatened to assassinate Biden or something. That's where we are now. And all you need to know is about what kind of freedom we have in America is you see that from school board meetings to something like this. Somebody who's really dissenting, who's trying to make a point that our media won't make, instantly escorted off the premises. It's never so they enable that belief. They're to letting we are conspiring, we're covering up, and here we'll show you. We'll offer you when you mention it. We'll offer usher you out of the room, and then you had Marjorie Taylor Greene, Billy Ray's favorite congresswoman, who was I thought a very clever marketing strategy using the left's own thing about say her name, but Lincoln Riley, and was passing the buttons out. And apparently, again, what does it say about the Attorney General of the United States, Mayorkas, who? She attempted to give him a button. He refused it. And she asked him to say her name and he wouldn't say her name. What does that say about an attorney general? That it literally, just imagine if some, let's say AOC, some other initial, if she went up to William Barr or something and whatever say their name they were talking about from the police shooting or something. And imagine what the reaction would be if Barr refused to say her name and walked away, wouldn't take the pen. But then you have MTG, getting animated. And again, this is a circus atmosphere. It's like WWE. You never used to see people shouting, but now it's standard. So she's shouting just like the WWE. And it's a wonder they don't actually start wrestling, you know, maybe, but maybe well, they'll coming. Be doing. Yeah, that's coming. Yeah. But so she shouts and they tell her to shut up. But Biden responds to her.
Yeah.
And of course, it's kind of Trumpian fashion, botches Lincoln Riley's name and calls her Lincoln Riley, maybe on purpose. I don't know if he's capable of doing that, but that's. It's so ridiculous to look at this. It used to be bad enough for the State of the Union address because the party in power, they'd make sure they all jumped up and gave like the most standing ovations they could have. It was ridiculous. But this is beyond that now. Because for all you Republicucks out there who think there's an opposition, you saw Mike Johnson standing up to, who by the way, is now on board with this, you know, $1.6 trillion thing or whatever that does nothing about border security. He's nodding his head. When Biden's talking about the Ukraine, and
there
stuff.
Were a lot of people that's nodding their head,
yeah,
like on the Republican side of things, nodding their head, and the left exploited that. They got the still shots of everyone and showed that. Look at them; they're agreeing with Joe Biden.
Exactly.
Look at them; they were like, you know. And then Matt Gaetz, whom I can't stand, very smart individual, at least, or clever as hell to be able to realize some of this stuff. He told them all beforehand. This is a report that I saw on the news. He told everybody, he's like, don't rile him up. Don't rile him up. Don't give him a chance to respond back. That makes him look better. That's what they want.
Yeah.
That's what they want. He told all of them. And Marjorie Taylor Greene has no control over her faculty. She has no idea what she's doing. And she gave them exactly what they wanted.
Yeah, what's the circus out?
Exactly what they wanted. And Joe Biden hit her back, boom. You know, Joe Biden hit back on the immigration thing.
Well, and then Biden, in the same sentence, I mean, it's Trump couldn't do better than that. In one sentence, he completely botched the poor girl's name. And then he said illegals,
right,
which is a no-no. And so he's already got AOC and Nancy Pelosi. He's already got people criticizing him for that. So. Right. I mean, this is you can't even analyze politics anymore. It's so ridiculous. But the idea that people are thinking that the Republicans are the answer, this is a guy that, and I said at the time, and some people don't like Jim Jordan. I thought, and I looked at it, okay, Jordan looks like one of the better ones. And I said at the time, they're not going to let him in. And they didn't let him in. This guy Johnson said, Jordan talks about some of the things. But Johnson, I knew, was going to do what he's doing, which is nothing. And you watch Mitch McConnell stepping down from Senate. See who this opposition party appoints. You already had a guy who's actually worse than him, John Corwin, who is the first guy to throw his hat in the ring. He will be almost impossible because he'll be a younger, more coherent version of Mitch McConnell. But he will be absolutely awful, but he'll fit right in. And those Republicans will vote. That's the kind of guy they'll vote in. They're not going to talk about Rand Paul or what's the guy's name? What's the guy from Arizona? It was J.B. Cash or whatever it is. There's a handful of good senators there that might look a little different. They don't have a chance. They always name rhinos, and yet they're trying to tell you they want to be an opposition. They're not. It's not an opposition if you name the same leaders that are going to support the same wars. They're going to be on board with the culture madness, which is what they're, and that's what there's no disagreement. So it's very disillusioning to see that, but it is entertaining. And I'll give you that. And it's, you know, the WWE, and that's why I said, I came out today. I want, unlike Billy Ray, I want Trump selected because whoever's going to be is going to be selected because the entertainment value will be precious to see that. I mean, I don't think he's going to do anything good, but just to now, there's danger involved, of course, because that side, they're going to get real if they go out in the streets, you know, because they're going to have Soros and they'll have, you know, wheelbarrows full of bricks provided for them and everything. So we have to hope we stay away from that. But in terms of entertainment value, I can't think of anything better than watching the Joy Reads and the, you know, the View and people like that, watching them respond to a Trump. You already have, what's her name? Rachel Maddow. She literally will not show a Trump talking, you know, his victory speech at all in the primary. No, we're not going to go to that. So I predict if it happened that literally the media, they just won't, they won't report it. They literally won't acknowledge
they'll report
that
it. They'll get all the ratings. They'll report it.
But that's what I'm hoping for. I said in my last Substack that I closed with that. What does that say about the world's greatest democracy? That's the best thing I can hope for.
No, I mean, it's a listen, the only person that can, that Donald Trump can beat out of the Democrats is Joe Biden. He's the only person that Donald Trump can stand a chance against. And the only person that Joe Biden can beat right now is Donald Trump. That's it. Yeah. That's it. This is what we've got. How did we end up here? Because it's a selection, right? And in a lot of ways, even though, you know, we can get into tune into primetime and I'll tell you what I feel about all this.
Am I the only one on the panel that thinks we're probably like 2 degrees separated from that vid? You ever seen the video of Saddam Hussein smoking a cigar where he had convened all of his parliament and then the enemies of the state were escorted out one by one as he called their names? We're just a couple of levels away. I mean, it's really on the cusp of
right there, man. I think you're right. Yeah. Listen, Trump has, and it's not just Trump, it's all the people that Kash Patel has come out and said this. Come out and said that this is what they're going to do, right? We don't have to get confirmation from Biden to know that that's what they're going to do. They'll do it too. You know, this is where we're headed.
I prefer Macho Camacho over the two. I just say we get the monster truck rallies. Let's do Idiocracy all the way. I mean,
Terry Crews is available. Just make him the president, right?
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. If we're gonna do it, let's do it, right? Yeah. If we're gonna go over the hill down that the waterfall, let's do it. No life jackets. Let's go. Yeah. It's enough already, right? The way I'm looking at it, it's enough already. Let's just go and this is what I'm saying. I'm like, I mean, maybe it's for the best. Let's elect Donald Trump and let all shit go to hell. Maybe it'll give us closure when he does absolutely nothing for another 4 years. Right.
Maybe. Yeah. We'll have to find another savior.
Oh, you know, man, that was a problem. Let's, you know, hey.
Well, and as we talked about before on air, Trump's main reaction to Biden's speech was not all the awful things he was saying and slurring all the insurrections, but he was butthurt because Biden didn't give him credit for the magical vaccine, which Trump is now claiming is actually eradicating cancer when cancer rates are skyrocketing and the vaccine appears to be causing cancer. So again, this is your again, the only value he holds for me is the entertainment value, but he's an absolute joke. I mean, that's his response. He's not talking about, do you hear Trump talk about freedom of speech much other than if he's banned? No, I mean, this is, I didn't realize what he is. He's a circus barker and he's Trumpenstein Project. And I just wrote another thing about that. But to think that's what your main opponent got out of that ridiculous speech was that you didn't give me credit for this deadly vaccine that all my supporters don't take. And his supporters just kind of, they don't notice that. I don't, that was your boy there. That's your
own. I don't even think it was ridiculous. I think whomever put this together knew exactly what they were doing. And it's going to piss off people that are conservatives and live on the right. But for the left, it gave them exactly what they wanted. This worked. This worked exactly what they wanted, exactly what they wanted to hear, exactly what they wanted to see. They want to condemn the quote unquote insurrectionist, the MAGAtards, all of these, but they want to condemn them. They don't want, let's bring the world, the nation again. No. These people are the problem. He is appealing to his base, just like Donald Trump appeals to his base every time. This is what we've become. It's the de-evolution of the United States, of the people, of our culture is in full display right now. This is what we've become. The speech did exactly what it was aimed to do. We should be looking at it in that term, in that sense. Exactly what it was designed to do, it did. It was not a State of the Union address. It was never intended to be a State of the Union address. So we get outraged about it. Oh my God, whatever. Not that we care, any of us here, you know, but ultimately they achieved their goal. And the Republicans played right into it because this is all nonsense. All of it. Joe Biden is probably going to get elected in November, guys. This is what it looks like. I know the polls. People are going to lose their minds. I don't want to see this. We are in for it in November, man. It's gonna be a disaster.
And the only thing, yeah, that side, I don't, I, again, for entertainment value, the only entertainment there will be whatever Trump says. and you know, to the degree that he does, but that would make the other side have to, because by that time, because Trump would then be a well over 80 by 2028 or whatever. And so I think at that point, at some point, they're going to have to just say, okay, well, we have to go somewhere else on this. But who are they going to do? I mean, I don't see, you know, anybody else out there. I mean, these other Republicans. And I do like this guy. I don't know if you guys have seen this guy. What's his name? Is it Mark Robinson?
I don't know.
He's this huge, and I mean huge, black guy that's running as Republican governor of North Carolina. And this guy, man, you talk about entertainment. He's a black Trump.
I'm sorry, Don. He is WWE.
Oh, he's great.
Max.
He's great. He was talking about sermons up there.
Like,
I love the fact that he's so spiritual. He's talking about God, which no white candidate could get away with doing. But and he does kind of, and then he called. What did he say? I think he was talking about Hollywood again. He was talking about agnostic Jews in for a few shekels and all this stuff. I mean, this guy, Jason Whitlock, loves him. Of course, you know, I love Jason Whitlock on his Fearless podcast. But this guy, that's the guy I'm looking at, because again, he's got the entertainment value. Maybe he's more legitimate than Trump. I don't know. He could be a joke too. Who knows? But, you know, I think Sam Bodiestree said it might be Don Jr. It's possible. They may go to Donald Trump Jr. because that's the best thing next to Trump, right? So maybe that'll be the next the great hope.
All right. Tone, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay.
Thank you for having me for the little bit of time. I apologize to everybody. I got to go. Be good. Take it easy. And I'll be listening off air. Tony, I'm going to get with you later today, Lord willing. Don Jeffries, the legendary. Look at that dude. The legendary Don Jeffries is sitting there, ladies and gents. Take it in. All right? I'm leaving. Take it easy, guys. Bye.
Okay, man. See you later. Tony, it says in here, somebody says, who's going to say here? Salty says, Mark is a flat earther. I think he means Mark Robinson. Is this going to be even greater? He's going to be an open flat earther running for governor? Hanky, I love this guy.
Wow, that's interesting. I mean, it's an eventuality, isn't it? I mean, that's a major part of our alternative media and culture now. It's everywhere. It's ubiquitous. So you're going to have people with those beliefs. And then that's actually tied to a lot of the creationist theory now.
Yes,
like there's even creationists that believe that there's the what is it, the firmament, outside of the atmosphere.
Yeah. You know, what they said. Well, they think there's a giant dome, I guess, you know, they put the firmament in, and the Simpsons, Simpsons had an episode where they referred to that in a baseball hit it or something. It's a Salty. Okay. So that's Salty. You're talking. Okay. He said it in his speech. So you're talking about Mark Robinson, right? The guy, the governor he's talked about flat earth in his speech. How did Jason Whitlock miss that? I got to verify that, Salty. That's the guy you're talking about, right? The big black guy that's running for governor of North Carolina, Mark Robinson. See if he verifies it. He claimed he said it in his speech. I mean, when was the last time a candidate talked about flat earth? You know, the 1800s, maybe?
Maybe. I don't,
I, this I don't might even actually, know that.
We might actually have some, it might be, you know, during the Spanish Empire, if there was
the dome, Fairfax is talking about. I think the dome is what you're referring to.
Oh, are you talking about the firmament or the dome? Well, that's what it's called.
Felix FXC says the dome. I guess that's what he's talking about. They call it.
Okay. Well, either way, our politics is careening into, that term from the 70s, or I might go back before that, but they call it the China syndrome. You remember this, Don, where they have the theory is when you have a nuclear reactor meltdown that it would, in theory, go all the way through the center of the earth and end up back in China. That's what that's referring to, is the China syndrome. Yeah. So if you have a complete meltdown, does it feel like our politics are just like the China syndrome now? And in more ways than one.
The great thing about it, and White Wolf, who's I think is out there listening, I answered him that and say he was talking about, you know, White Wolf thinks everybody, he's very black pilled, thinks everybody's a shield. So he's saying Ron Paul was, and Ron Paul did truly, he gave a really bad answer to 9/11 stuff way back, but when he was running for president. But as I told White Wolf, I think that things have changed because of Trump inadvertently. Trump has opened the door to where this stuff can be discussed now. So do you think you could have had a big black man or not, anybody running for governor of North Carolina, that running for governor of a state that could have talked about, I believe, in flat earth 5 years ago? Certainly. I mean, I think that's the good effects are Trump are all inadvertent. But there, he, just by his presence and his rhetoric, and he has opened things up so everybody talks about fake news. Everybody understands how bad the media is. Everybody understands how big the corruption is. Just nothing's done about it, but at least it opens it up. So, you know, we'll see if anything ever happens. But I find it refreshing. So if we have more candidates like that, go flat earthers. Let's see how we can make it a dent there.
I think you're right about this. We're going to stay, you know, again, we're also, anybody who tunes into this program is completely jaded by politics. I get it. You know, it's not even interesting anymore. We talk about it more or less to try to decipher what the message is here, because everything is language. Like whether you, it's a headline on the mainstream media or whether it's Dark Brandon, everything's language. But I think, you know, you see these type of candidates emerging, and this has been a trend since really since 2015, 2016, things got so bad and the rhetoric was so dumbed down. I mean, I remember, and you have to have witnessed this too, Don, did you pick up on the fact that if you looked at the Sunday talk shows, like say from the 80s, where you had like the McLaughlin Group and other mm-hmm. things that were pretty smart, it got to where in the mid 2000s, it was so dumb that, I mean, no questions were ever answered.
Right.
Nothing was ever disseminated. And like you, even like you go on like Face the Nation or whatever, all these Sunday shows, which I used to watch, and I think, man, they don't ever answer any questions. Well, that, you know, Trump changed that because it was a national candidate that was just, I mean, said the most outrageous stuff. I mean, and you would think in any other previous cycle that that would disqualify you or you would be thrown in the trash. But look at what he said. You know, when I remember John McCain, and he said, I like, and he was being criticized by McCain. He said, I like people that weren't captured. I mean, holy hell. And he survived that no problem. And he brought up live on air. I watched him bring up talking about Ted Cruz's father. There was some questions about whether or not he was friends with Lee Harvey Oswald. And he brought that up. He's like, I just want to know where he was, you know, during the death. And I'm like, holy, I mean, this is like next level, because he was blending all. So there had to be, it's almost like a release valve that people started just saying, this, none of this is real. We want somebody real. And unfortunately, we still haven't found that, because we see where the Trumpenstein project took us. But that opens up a whole slew of, this is a new, I think it's a cultural shift, because people are getting desperate. You see the border.
Yeah.
You see what's happening with our foreign policy. You see what's happening with our currency. And you can keep electing these same people, but you're right about, like, there is no opposition to the ruling party. Not really. And you can have the Marjorie Taylor Greens and all that, but there's really isn't an opposition in the true sense. I don't know how long that can last, but it's like JFK was saying, you know, those who make a peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable.
Yes. Yeah.
So this is what's happening. There needs to be a release valve. You got to have somebody that is an actual opposition.
Well, and that's why I would think that, because Trump is at some point, if he loses this time, I don't see how they can continue trotting him out there. But, and if he wins and doesn't do any of the stuff he said, which would be my prediction that he wouldn't, then again, at what point do people abandon him? At what point are they satisfied with these stupid tweets and just his, you know, his name calling? But I think it's at some point, as people get more desperate, as prices continue to rise, and you look at something like, and I hear from people all the time who, you know, can't afford rent or live at home with their parents at advanced ages and things like that. People, the home ownership, the dream of home ownership has been stolen from young people. With this going on, the constant threat of wars, with resources being funneled into Ukraine and illegal aliens being held up in five-star hotels while American citizen homeless or sleeping on the streets. At some point, this has got to reach a critical mass. You know, Langston Hughes, the black poet, had a great poem about basically Jim Crow, separate but equal. And he talked about at some point that it was going to explode. And I think this has to explode at some point, because you can't continue. You have the cultural divide, but even beyond the cultural divide, people see all this corruption. They see the thing. They know that, you know, that things are going on. I mean, people like, something like Epstein, the whole world, even the New York Times is kind of saying, yeah, you know, he killed himself with quotes. But then it gets, well, no, he killed himself. That's what they officially determined. So at some point, people are just not going to accept it anymore. And Trump is the symbol for that. Although, again, he never delivers on anything, but he's out there as the point man to kind of wink. You know, he winks at people, you know, and then he does the opposite thing. But at some point, I think you're going to see, and I don't know what it is, because I don't think we can have a grassroots movement because you can't get enough people together. I tell people all the time when they say, what's the answer? I said, the only power we have, other than faith in God, but on earth here, the only power we have is our incredible advantage in numbers, just like Orwell's proles in 1984. But we just don't ever seem to be able to get together. If we got together, they wouldn't have a chance against us. All their military industrial complex, everything, unless they wanted to kill everybody, which maybe they do, but they wouldn't have a chance. We would need a gun. You just our incredible numbers, millions and millions of people marching with one purpose. They can't do it. You can't get people to do that. But if they push people far enough, who knows? Maybe the decades of brainwashing and conditioning will break down, and the instinct for survival will take over, and they just realize, hey, you know, we've got to do this. We're mad as hell. We're not going to take it anymore. But I don't know. It doesn't seem like Americans have a tipping point.
Well, I think we've reached peak fluoride. I think that should be the title of your next article, Don. I'm just going to give that one to you too. Peak fluoride. We've reached it, ladies and gentlemen. That's what
I like that.
That's where we. It seems, you know, I've been in the realm of outside of the mainstream since I was a kid. I mean, I remember in the mid '90s, you know, going to see people. I've mentioned this many times, but going to see Bo Greit speak and. You know, this is before Waco and, you know, around the Ruby Ridge time and before Oklahoma City. I mean, this is, you know, people that I met there were skeptical of all the ruling class. It was more right wing stuff. It was more conservative and Christian nationalist type stuff. So I've heard this my whole life and how corrupt the government was. And I mean, I've seen it first. I've seen the foreign policy. You know, this is, if you listen to me, I know what I've seen it. So I know it's made an impression on my spirit. So that's why I'm anti-war as a warrior. I'm not prepared. I don't think a lot of times for the headlines that I see, because the decline has been so swift. It's actually surprised me. And it isn't like there's not shocking things. It's just a series, like a death by a thousand cuts. And you're watching this beautiful thing, which if you believed in the American Republic, which we haven't really been living under that for a long time, but let's say you believed in it and there was some semblance of justice, maybe sometimes, or law and order sometimes, but we're next level. And I think we can all agree that we're there. The question is, what do we do now? I mean, because the changes can't come from Washington. It's a dead end street. You know, you're just going to continue to send your energy there. And it's the same stuff, whether the levers of power change over slightly, there's still just there's a continuity of government. There's a cog, there's the power base. That's just always there. So this is how bloated and everything's gotten. Don, do you see, you know, something akin to like what happened to the Soviet Union? Do you kind of see maybe even the Roman Empire? You know, there's a certain point in the Roman Empire where Rome wasn't the center of power anymore. It became Constantinople. You know, like there was this move eastward. Do you see like something happening here like that, where Washington's so corrupt and there is no opposition? And it's like, why even try? Is it going to go move westward? Or some of these states? I mean, are we actually moving towards a balkanization?
Yeah, well, I think that what happened to the Soviet Union, if they collapsed under whatever was going there and their own ineptitude or whatever priorities not directed in the right directions, certainly we're way beyond anything they did. So we should be overdue for, and you know, we go back to the 80s. I remember the 80s, there were the people on the right that were talking about everything was going to collapse then. And they talked about what they called the spike, what was it? The spike, the great spike or something. where they talked about how the economy couldn't continue to exist as it is with the debt we have and all that. And and I think that it was artificially kept alive a little longer by the nobody foresaw the dot-com boom of the 90s. And I think that kept things going a little bit artificially for a while. And even now we see, I mean, I have something in the stock market, so I have a vested interest. Unlike most people don't realize that 90% of the stocks are owned by 10% of the people.
Yes.
So for the vast majority of Americans, whatever happens on the Dow Jones is irrelevant. But some of us, you know, we care about it. But, you know, at some point, something is keeping it. There's no reason. I'm glad it's going up because that means my money's going up. But I don't know what's making it go up. Every economic indicator should indicate that it should be crashing. With just the inflation rate alone, interest rates being to the point where the housing market's in crisis, what is the good economic indicator? And yet they're keeping it artificially afloat somehow. Are they doing it to pump it up to certain levels and then pull the rug out? You know, those, we have to figure when can we get out because we don't have inside information. But that's the kind of stuff that's going on. And I'm in a better position for most because most people out there don't have anything in this game. So they don't care what happens. But I don't know how the upward spike, I think is what it was called. But it's at some point this debt and everything, it's you think it would reach critical mass. And I've talked all the time. I talk about the bottom half of America that has less than 1% of the collective wealth. That's half the country. And with all these illegals that are coming in that are entering at the bottom of that lower half, it's just expanding. I don't see how you can have a viable economy when, you know, more than half your country now has nothing. I don't see how that's possible, but somehow they're keeping it alive, artificial insemination, whatever you want to call it. I don't know how they're doing it. They're doing it with smoke and mirrors. And I like, for instance, I drive around my area and everywhere I go, I always say, like, where are the white people working? I never see them working anywhere. And yet I know there, I mean, there's lots of them with money around here. I don't know what they do. Maybe they're all like me and they're writing in their basement. I don't know. But, you know, certainly a lot of them work for government. But you wonder, and sometimes you wonder where any of the Americans work. Because so who's working? These things are, and yet you go out and there's traffic all the time. And, you know, in the middle of this 11 a.m. on a Wednesday, and it's just like, Where are all these people? Don't they work? I mean, why? How are they out on the road now? So a lot of mysteries out there, but I agree with you. I think that could happen. But again, I believe that there's a group above Illuminati, whatever you want to call it, that I think is orchestrating this stuff. And I think they would have to allow that to happen. Somehow they're keeping it from happening, I think, now, because every indication is America is doing everything wrong. In terms of, putting priority, letting your infrastructure be untouched for 60 years, giving, you know, this incredible amount of money over to Ukraine and spending all these resources overseas and nonsensical things that are making us enemies, and not building up our own priorities, not doing anything about the corruption, not doing anything about the disparity of wealth, trying to help out the millennials and Gen Z who we've given such a raw deal, who can't even rent an apartment anywhere because of the cost of housing. While giving illegals free housing, I mean, everything we're doing is wrong. None of it makes any sense. It's like the lunatics have taken over the asylum because it's insane. But because of Trumpenstein, millions of people are with that program because Trump is at least supposedly against it. And that's where we are. I mean, that's as long as he remains the opposition, I don't think anything's going to get done. But I don't know if there is any real opposition out there.
I don't think that there is. I think that there could be, and the grassroots, and I think that things have to economically get worse. I think people have to have some sort of, there has to be an underlying reason to change or to do something different, or maybe have a different type of political movement or party. We're just stuck in the same old paradigms. It does seem that the order has been given somewhere at the top to loot the treasury, to not improve the infrastructure, to abandon the United States as a 21st century superpower, and just see where the chips fall. I think it's been slated to be an economy zone and not really a country by the ruling elite. I mean, this has been going on since the 90s. I mean, you go back to all throughout the rhetoric, you know, the Strobe Talbot saying, the Secretary of State saying the nation state's irrelevant. I mean, I can't get away from that. They brought that up time and time again. That's how they think that the nation state is irrelevant. They're looking towards, you know, the future is the one world totalitarian socialist government that they want to create, which gives them total control for it. That's the goal. But I don't know that that's what they're going to get. It seems lately they've been phoning it in. It's pretty lazy. But we're also, you know, a country that has been so dumbed down and put into these funnels, like these camps, like where, you know, Biden's talking to his base. Trump's talking to his base. Well, what about everybody else? You know, and those bases, by the way, are shrinking. I would bet that they're shrink. I know that the base is very vocal, but this isn't like 2016, folks. Really, really do some thinking. I know that it's alternative media. I know that there's a lot of energy on that area for Trump and MAGA and all that stuff, but it doesn't carry the same sort of grassroots fervor that it did in 2016. My opinion. What do you think about that, Don?
Yeah, well, you're right. At least I don't think there are that many new converts to Trump. Again, I think the Trumpenstein project was pretty much people were planted on one side or the other very early on and during his campaign, probably even more so than when he became president. So I think it's hard to get new converts to Trump as long as Trump is leading. I think you can get maybe new converts to people being awake. But the problem is, and Trump has lost people like us, lots of people that used to at one time were hopeful about him to some degree, have now jumped off. And I'm calling him Trumpenstein and everything. So I don't know. I think there should be more people out there that are objecting what's going on. And I think that you'd have so many people, millions of people, would be instantly cured of Trump derangement syndrome if Trump was no longer around. So maybe TDS will die with Trump. I don't know. But unfortunately, again, when you have people that are formerly clear thinking and lots of people that were my friends and wrote reviews of my books and stuff and canceled me and everything, they knew what was going on. At least they knew it before. But Trump being injected into the body politic suddenly caused them to start trusting the CIA and just ignoring all these other terrible signs because Trump is perceived to be against that. So without him there, I don't know. I think it would, I hope anyhow, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they wouldn't because this could be an incurable thing. Maybe Trump derangement syndrome has reconverted these people so that they will now forever forward be loyal, woke Democrats and love the CIA and love war, stand with Ukraine and all that. I don't know, but I hope that the presence of Trump is the main reason why they're doing that. Trump derangement syndrome is the main reason, the cause of divide in this country, because without his presence, I think you'd have a much smaller group of complete lunatics that are running around in pussy hats and screaming like banshees and, you know, dyeing their hair and tattoos everywhere and getting obese on purpose and proud of it and shaming anybody that's trying to lose weight. That kind of craziness that we see that's everywhere now, I think it would be a real minority and you'd be able to marginalize it if you didn't have all these people that hate Trump that automatically either turned a blind eye to that or actually support it because Trump is presumed to be the opposition to that. So I said a long time, the key to all this is what happens after Trump.
Right.
Because Trump had 4 years. He didn't do what he said he would do. He didn't do any what he said he'd do. So he didn't change anything. So if he comes back, okay, maybe I said, the big tell for those of you who actually have doubts about that Trump is going to do something good this time or whatever, see who his VP candidate is. That'll be the first choice. Pence was the first tell there. I if he picks Vivek Ramaswamy or Tucker Carlson or Rand Paul, then okay, I'll say maybe, but he won't. He never does the right thing. He'll pick Tim Scott, maybe even Nikki Haley again, maybe yep. Lindsey Graham. I don't know. That's what he always does. So that's the first tell. And then once, of course, if he got into office, I would be shocked if he doesn't name Lindsey Graham Secretary of State or something. I think you'll see the same nonsense.
I don't disagree with you at all. And I don't, maybe this time he'll pick some people for his cabinet that actually voted for him. Maybe this time. We'll see, you know. I disagree with Billy on the fact. I think now that I look at it, look at the chessboard, and again, we don't make predictions often. We're not saying this is what this is going to happen. But if you look at it right now, with the entrance of third party candidates. By the way, I don't think the Libertarians, I don't think they convene until next month to pick their candidate. But there might be a surprise in that. It hasn't been the last couple of cycles or three cycles, but they might pick somebody there that actually is effective, other than like a Gary Johnson or somebody you can't remember.
And you have RFK Jr. because we don't, he claims to still be polling in the 20%. If that's the case, they have to let him in by their own rules into the debates. Yes. And then it becomes
the debates are 15%. The national, whatever organization that is, it's 15% polling. That was Pat Buchanan's goal in 2000 before Trump came in and sabotaged the Reform Party.
Yes,
it's
did,
true. Yeah. Go back. That would have been epic. But Buchanan was kept out because of the chaos inside the Reform Party. Well, Don, we're going to close out. I want to make sure that you plug and talk about the chat. Shout out the chat if you want to. I can shout out Rockfin, but you can go ahead and shout out YouTube if you want.
We got a lot of stuff. And I want to say to you people, remember, I do have my show, I Protest 5 p.m., the same channels, because I'm noticing we're getting, this is the most people I've ever seen watching on YouTube. And it's just way more than I'm getting on my show. So maybe your schedules don't permit it or anything, but I'm getting a little complex here about it. So try to tune into I Protest, and I'm going to have Sally Kirkland on again, an award-winning actor, in a couple of weeks, and she's going to talk about not only her career but also the vaccine. She was damaged by it, so she became an outspoken opponent of it. So that'd be good. We have lots of people. Harps is there. Now What? Sans Bodhi's Tree. Rocky USA. White Wolf. Tom Cooper. Dawn Lambert. Now What? Harlan Stonewall, Chris Buchan, I saw Deborah Wheeler, John Bassiglone, Blake S., JT, some new names too to me, Zumo or Zamo, and there was a guy, I'm going to find his name, I had not seen him, but Stephanie Green. That had he's the one that brought up about the 5-star guy, and I can't find his name now. I got it. It wasn't somebody that's here all the time. Tom Cooper, John Lawler. Let's see, what's the guy's name? I can't find it. But
we've had an active chat over on YouTube today. I think who you're talking about was actually commenting on my Twitter. You talking about Salty?
No, Salty too, but Felix FSC, there's the guy was talking about the 5-star thing. I can't, he made a couple comments, and of course I can't find him now. I apologize to you, but you know who you are, so I appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate all of our followers over on Rockfin too, on the America Unplugged channel, Karen Carpenter, Birdhouse Blues, Little John, Guard Goldsmith, the great and powerful Guard Goldsmith. Thanks for tuning in, my friend. Let's see. We've got Mandeer. I like the perfect chimera. Rhonda Tate. Thank you, Rhonda. And let's see. I don't know if I can get to everybody. If I miss you, I'm sorry. Tom Cooper, of course. Thanks, Tom. Thanks for AM Wake Up is in the chat.
Oh, here it is. If you put it in Bronx Stomper 111.
Okay. Thanks, Bronx Stomper. Angus Mustang. I'm going through Shelley Almstead. Yeah, we appreciate it. We try to call out the chat. We know that you guys got thousands of podcasts to choose from. Thanks for tuning into us. And we always try to bring some smart content, something that hasn't been said hundreds of times before you wind up here at the end of the week to go through everything. And we appreciate you. DonaldJeffries.media. I'm going to plug you. DonaldJeffries.media. Go check out Don's Substack. Masking the Truth. Go give it a review. Buy the book. Share it with friends and family. We got to keep that alive. The algorithms are not helping Don. Why would they? Don, you're too much of a truth teller. You're being punished.
And please support me at Substack, Donald Jeffries at Substack.com. I Protest, just like my show. That's the only place I'm being allowed to grow. And now Lou Rockwell publishes my stuff. Zero Hedge is starting to publish them too. So we're growing there. Unless the shadow bands go. So please subscribe to me on Substack.
Absolutely. Wolfpack.gold, a sponsor to this program, monthly memberships for precious metals. Go check that out. We've got hundreds of members, and it's just getting better as far as product selection and variety and all kinds of cool stuff in the face of what's happening. I mean, I don't know how I got in this weird cul-de-sac of history, but it is strange that all these things are happening. Everything all at once, the decline of the dollar, and the markets are absolutely insane. Bitcoin and gold hitting their all-time highs together. So even with all that outflow of people getting out of gold ETFs and getting into the new Bitcoin ETFs, gold is still breaking all-time highs, and that's because central banks are hoarding gold. There's an underlying story there, folks. So be sure and subscribe to the Wise Wolf Gold and Crypto Show podcast. Arterburn.news is my website. We'll be back next week here with the legendary Don Jeffries. Hopefully, Billy will stay longer than it takes to get a pizza, but we'll see. and we'll see. Next week, America Unplugged. Don't burn the place down. All right. Oh, should I play us out, Don? I have the ability. I should play us out. Let me see.
Go for it.
Well, hold on a second. Let me see if I can get it done. This is where I should have been prepared already. I usually have Billy closing us out, and I didn't choose. All right, here we go. Let's see if we can make this work. One second. I have to add it to the screen. We got to do it the right way, Don, or it won't sound good. All right, here we go. One second. Playing us out.